At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Hi there, and welcome to Eye on the Illini. Today is the Kofi and Camille edition. This is Illini Guy Mike. I am here with Illini Guy staff writer Matt Stevens. We have Illini Guy director of recruiting Kedrick Prince and Illini Guy basketball writer Connor Kegley. And we have a loaded but brief show today as we talk about newsmakers, which are happening all over the program. Kofi Coburn has taken himself out of the NBA draft, but has not taken himself out of the transfer portal. So for a lot of Illini fans, it's time to load up on Tums and Imodium and see if we can weather the storm of Kofi's decision-making. And of course, Connor and I have been on the record as saying last year's team, when you game plan for that team, you game plan for Kofi, even over Io, because of the unique set of challenges that he poses for the other team. At the same time, Kofi has some things that he wants to prove to the NBA in terms of his ability to guard away from the basket, shoot away from the basket, and share the ball. So there's a lot of question marks going into what's going to happen here with Kofi over the next few days. Matt, you were obviously got a couple stories up very quick for IlliniGuys.com, kind of wrapping up the situation and giving us an idea of where the ball is now. What are you looking for with the Kofi situation?
Similarly to, like, I guess he's being more transparent, but similar to like the Aaron Rodgers situation, the question is, Kofi, what do you want? Like, at some point, here's the deal. Like, I guess on Illini Guys, I'll play the devil's advocate argument here, because if Kofi wants everything he says he's going to want, then he's not coming back to Illinois, because I just don't see a version of Brad Underwood being cool with Kofi Coburn, you know, picking and popping off of pick and roll and shooting 13 to 15 foot jumpers and trying to prove that he can guard people outside the perimeter. Like, that's never been what Kofi's strengths are. That's never been what Brad's comfortable with him being involved in. And so, I mean, I have a lot of questions. Like, the whole thing to me just provides more questions than it does answers. I've tried for a variety of different reasons, one of which is, how badly is Kofi Coburn tied to Orlando Antigua? Because if he's completely tied to Orlando Antigua, we know where you're going. We just do. How bad does Kofi want to be involved with, you know, name, image, and likeness, and can he be involved with name, image, and likeness? Because I have tried to get clarification from the U of I about his international student status as to whether or not he has dual citizenship with the United States of America and Jamaica. Everybody I've talked to doesn't have that information right now. And there are visa situations with international students all over the country that say you cannot be involved with name, image, and likeness profiting when you're a college student, because that means that you're now an employee of something, and therefore you're no longer, it may violate your student agreement with your international visa. I'm not exactly sure what Kofi's status is with that. I'm not sure if Kofi feels more confident that he can get name, image, and likeness money out of Illinois, or can he get it more out of Kentucky? Can he get it more out of somewhere else? What's important to him? What does he want? And I don't know the answers to that, but I do think that anybody that would tell you that it's a slam dunk one way or another, whether it's Illinois, Kentucky, or the field, I just don't think is being truthful to you. So I'm very, very curious as to how this plays out, because I think it will show what, at the end of the day, Kofi bought into and what he values as he now approaches what he wants in his third year of college basketball.
Yeah, and those are fair comments. Ked, what is your perspective, you know, coming out of what you've been listening to? And obviously, you and I talked a little bit today, so this announcement didn't really take you by surprise. Where are your thoughts leading you?
I've just had mixed feelings. And, you know, Matt, I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of agree with a lot of what you said. To me, it's a frustrating situation for Brad Underwood. And obviously, Kofi is looking to play in the NBA because money matters to him right now. I remember when he first – and I get that. I remember when he first came to Illinois, the word on the street was he wanted to be two and done. He wanted Illinois to improve his game. He wanted to be two and done. Anybody who remembers watching him play when he was a senior in high school, there was a couple of All-Star games where people watched him, and people were very disappointed. He was athletic, you can see it and you can tell, but he just wasn't very, very good. He was just bigger than everybody else. And sometimes guys were guarding him that were 6 foot or 6'2". Illinois did their job. They made him a better basketball player. They did exactly what they said they were going to do. Kofi is limited on certain things that he's ever going to be able to do. He's not going to be able to go out there and knock down, five, six, 3 pointers a game. I will say, I do think he can do it. I think he can knock down 10 or 15 foot shots. I do think that. I've seen him do it before. And Matt, you talk about Brad Underwood and him being comfortable with that. For me, if I'm Brad Underwood and you think you can do that, I'm going to give you that chance because, Brad's that kind of guy. Coach Underwood's that kind of guy. But I'm not going to lose games because of it. I'm not going to lose basketball games and sell my soul so it looks like everybody in the State Farm Center all across the country, I'm going to lose basketball games so this kid can chase his NBA dreams and he's out here shooting 3-pointers. I do think if he shot 10 or 15 of them, I think he can make 3 or 4 of them. I really do, a 5. I don't know. I've seen him do it. But having said that, it looks like to me, he's chasing this name, image, likeness situation. This is stressful enough. There's no need for him to go to Kentucky. It's his right. I understand this. I don't want people saying, well, Ked, it's his right. I get it. But Illinois made Kofi Coburn who he is. He would be nobody if it wasn't for Orlando Antigua and Chen Coleman and Brad Underwood and Jeff Alexander. What people don't understand, what Kofi doesn't understand is if the NBA is being critical of his game, what he needs help with, the guys who taught him, and the guy I love is Orlando Antigua, he taught you. So why would you go back to the same situation? What is he going to do different for you? Because I'm going to tell you right now, and I don't care who's listening to this, Cal has to win games at Kentucky, with or without Kofi. He understands that. I've been told by tons of recruits and other publishers, he's going to win games. And if Kofi's going to cost him games because he can't shoot free throws, Kofi's going to ride the bench. Illinois is going to give him that chance for name, image, likeness. He can make a ton of money here. I'm talking $200,000 to $400,000. It makes no sense for him to leave. I don't understand it. He should be with his teammates right now. There's a bunch of new guys down there right now that he needs to be dealing with. This, to me, it doesn't make any sense. And people who want to say fans are overreacting, no, they're not. This is dumb to me. It really is dumb. I mean, I guess the average fan should say, oh, okay, Kofi, you know what? Yeah, we want you to go to Kentucky. We want you to go to Iowa. No, you don't. And so I understand the pain, the frustration. Get your heart behind back in school. Hit the books. If you are good enough to to be in the NBA, and if the skills are there, let the coaches enhance that, because the Illinois is going to do that for him. Coach Underwood has been great to Kofi, and so have the fans. That's my two cents with it.
Yeah, and I can see, you know, it's a frustrating situation, and of course you've got a player who is looking for leverage to generate revenue, and there may be a sense of I need to generate as much NIL revenue as I possibly can, because maybe I'm not going to be automatic for the NBA, but I'm not certain that chipping away at the amount of money you might be able to earn because you're causing some frustration is the way I would go about doing it. But, you know, I'm not one of the people that gets to strategize with Kofi. One of the questions, you know, that the people have to me is, what does Kentucky look like for Kofi? And I'm going to turn it over to Connor and let him kind of talk about the Kentucky roster a little bit and the implications that would have on Kofi.
So when looking at Kentucky's roster, they already have five guys that think they're getting minutes within their post rotation. At the power forward position, you're going to have Keon Brooks, you're going to have Bryce Hopkins, you're going to have Jacob Toppin. At the center, you're going to have Oscar Tshiebwe and Damian Collins. I mean, I would assume that the first three there are most likely going to play all of their minutes at the four, and Oscar and Collins will split the five. But if you add Kofi into that mix, I mean, 20 minutes a game, maybe, for Collins and Oscar, and maybe Collins is able to slide a couple minutes at the four then. But either way, that's not a lot of minutes to go about doing what he wants to do, which is showing that he can be an NBA player. I mean, Oscar and Kofi are not a good mix together, because neither has really shown that they can go away from outside probably 5 to 10 feet. So you're going to have a really just – teams are just going to sit in the lane. And we've seen at Kentucky just this previous year that – you can't really do the too big situation if neither of them can stretch the court. And that's why I think they're probably going to do a lot of minutes with Brooks and Toppin at the four, because they're going to want to keep someone spacing, you know, out towards at least close to the 3-point line so that they can continue to have those lanes for their guards as well. That's why it just kind of makes sense that Illinois would kind of be the team to go to, just because, I mean, if Illinois is able to add a guy like Garcia, your spacing is going to be much better. Even then, you, with Garcia playing the four, if that happens, you'd be able to have him play kind of similar to the way Grandison played last year, where he's kind of the stretch four, but Garcia has a lot more upside, being that he's 6'11" and is able to hit the boards a lot harder. That would allow, Kofi to actually be able to play maybe free throw line extended to shoot jumpers from at least there, because I'm going to be honest, I don't see Kofi being able to shoot from three at even the college level, let alone the NBA level. And that to me is, if he can get automatic from about free throw line, that's all he really needs to show. I mean, when you're watching the conference finals last week in the NBA, three of the four guys that are playing center for a majority of the game do not shoot anything outside of layups and garbage buckets. You got DeAndre Ayton, who can shoot from out there, but he doesn't within their system. You got Zubac out at the Clippers, and then you had Clint Capella playing for the Atlanta Hawks. Those players do not do anything outside of dunks and layups. So if he can get the defense and prove that he's working on that front, that would be a lot more impactful for his NBA standing than his offensive game.
Connor, I'm gonna interject real quick. You said exactly what I've been saying to people for months. I think he can play in the NBA right now. I really do. All these other intangibles that people are talking about, there's a place for him in the NBA. It really is. Because he doesn't have to shoot 4 or 5 3-pointers to be successful in the NBA. Kofi's athletic enough, and he is good enough, and he is strong enough to rebound and play defense against guys in the post and give a team 8 to 10 points a game. His footwork has improved tremendously from 1 year to the next. So I think a lot of this is overrated. I think it's unfair to Kofi. You know, if you really want to talk about, you look at awards, Luka Garza-Milo won every possible award imaginable last year. Kofi is twice the athlete and twice the player he is. During that Big Ten tournament, you saw what Kofi could do against the nation's best player in college basketball. There is no Kofi Coburns in college basketball. There's just not. So he's going to be attractive to a lot of teams. I think if the NBA would get off these numbers and all these certain rules and take a chance on a guy like Kofi, you're going to be fine. But they're not doing it. And so he has to keep, well, he's obviously taken his name out of the draft. And now he's going to have to go back to college. And he, some team, whether it be Illinois, I don't know if it's Kentucky, it may be someone else, is going to have to take a chance on that. But like I said before, no coach should ever sell their soul to a player to win games, to lose games, so that player can market themselves for the NBA.
So I guess my devil's advocate point to Connor is, isn't it the DeMarcus Cousins plan? Like, isn't Cal an O if they're trying to sell Kofi? Isn't it the DeMarcus Cousins plan of, we want you to be the most efficient 25-minute player in college basketball, which is exactly what he was because he shared the other minutes with Daniel Orton. I mean, I was there. I was courtside on that, like covering that team. Like, that's exactly what he did. And then when it got to the point where they had to pull him because he could only – because quite honestly, you know, DeMarcus could only go up and down the floor for about 25 minutes. They pulled him and they put in Daniel Orton, or they put in Josh Harrelson, who was a freshman at the time. I mean, isn't that the plan? I mean, from that standpoint, like, I think Cal is the first coach and the only coach in America that would go, you really think I'm going to make the argument that I have too many good players? Like, I'm not going to make that point. Like, I don't buy the argument that Kentucky is landlocked at a certain position with certain amount of players. If Kentucky thinks you're a good player and you're going to be an All-American, guess what? They, like, Cal's going to want you to come and play for him. Like, just no different than anybody else. So from that standpoint, Ted, I agree with you. I think that this is being overrated in the sense that I think Kofi was being told by NBA people, we would like for you to go back to college basketball because there are things that you can do on the defensive end that would impress us a lot more as a potential NBA draft pick. I mean, the Cameron Quadwick tape isn't going away anytime soon. Like, that bothered a lot of NBA players, a lot of NBA people. It really did. It really, really did. And Kofi needs to go back and prove that he can guard people. I mean, I think he's getting a mixed message here. Like, I don't think Kofi's problem in the NBA is what he can do on the offensive end. I think Kofi's – the questions that people have about Kofi in professional basketball is, we'd like for you to guard people 12, 13, 15 feet away from the basket. We don't care what you do offensively from that far away from the basket. We'd like for you to guard people because you struggled with that with certain players. Like, – when you were asked to do that, that's where I think Brad Underwood needs to get him in a room and go, this is our plan for you, and this is how we can make you a draftable player. Like, that's got to be the plan. And then, you know, Mike, you mentioned the NLI stuff. I would love to get clarification if Kofi has dual citizenship. If he has dual citizenship, then all of this NLI stuff makes sense. If it doesn't, I'm not sure Kofi can make a dime playing college basketball outside of with the NLI stuff, because I'm not sure the federal government is actually the federal government understands with all these international students what they're going to do with them. And Kofi, I think, is lumped into that right now, because I have not gotten clarification that he can get, you know, he has dual citizenship with the United States of America and Jamaica. So
I got to think he probably, there's all sorts of, who knows, maybe we should get another guy on here, but right. Certainly you would almost think in a worst case scenario, you throw your money into some sort of trust fund and then hold it for litigation purposes later on, but at least bring it in.
Yeah.
One of the things I think is pretty phenomenal in this whole thing is we've seen Calipari, who's done less with more than just about any coach has done for quite some time. When you take a look at his recruiting classes coupled with what he's done in the postseason. And we found out even with, you know, Joel Justice, you know, that guy had a bunch of signees, you know, Bam Adebayo, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Emmanuel Quickley, Keldon Johnson, you know, and more. And yet when it comes time, when they don't perform at the level that you would expect, they ship off the assistant coach, not the head coach who's in charge of coaching them. So if I was a Kofi Coburn, heck, if I was a Orlando Antigua, I'd be really concerned if this team doesn't perform this year for Kentucky. How is old Calipari going to find a way to put the bill at somebody else's feet other than himself? He certainly threw the players under the bus repeatedly last year. And I've always found, as a guy who's coached teams, when you get a pick 'em, you get them to come and play for you and you put them out on the court and they don't perform, most of the time you kind of point the finger at the adult in the room and say, maybe that guy isn't doing his job. Calipari has found a unique way to point at the assistant coaches and the players, and somehow the head coach is powerless in this whole thing. I don't know if that's the culture that I'd want to go to if I was a player, but to me, it seems like the biggest thing here is maybe Kofi's just looking at this as leverage to drive up the NIL meter as high as it can go between the Kentucky and Illinois folks to see if businesses will be willing to get behind him as a face of their company type of things under the new rules. That may not be it, but just as an outsider looking in, that's kind of how I'm looking at this. You guys think I'm off base on that?
I don't. The answer I can come up with, Mike, is I don't know. Kofi is one of those Illinois athletes, honestly, that I don't know that much about personally. And I'm not shy to say that. The only thing I know about Kofi, and the reason I could potentially be losing a dinner bet to Ked on this if he comes back to Illinois, is I knew for a fact that Kofi didn't like going to school. I mean, he hates it, literally hates going to class, doesn't like the student part of being a student athlete, can't stand it, which is why he was dead set on leaving after 1 year at Illinois. Like, just can't stand it. That's the only thing I know about it, which is which I'll just throw out a theory, and it's real simple. What if he just trusts Orlando Antigua more than anybody on the planet? Period. End of discussion. Now that would be a real immature decision to a lot of people. But if you are as emotional as we know Kofi can be with some things and how he views life, when we've gotten to speak to him a lot, if the most important person that you trust outside of, you know, your family is in Orlando Antigua and he's at Kentucky, from an emotional standpoint, it would kind of make sense that he would be at Kentucky. Now, I believe that people at Illinois, Brad Underwood being one, Jeff Alexander maybe being another, I know for a fact that, you know, there's a trainer at Illinois that has a real big emphasis on and a real big relationship with Kofi. Fletch is a real big motivator for Kofi and a reason why he has stayed. There are pieces at Illinois that can keep him there emotionally and make him feel comfortable. But if he feels like, because Orlando's there, I'm going to be the most comfortable at Kentucky, then that's it. You know, and I think in the very, very limited ways that he's been able to express himself throughout this entire process, he's made that very clear that, look, Kentucky is in the running because Orlando is there. And so what if he just likes Orlando more than anything else that he has in Champaign right now? It could be just that simple. I mean,
people have made
decisions for less.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, if that was what the whole situation is, one could understand that much easier than probably not having the full story, so to speak. And having some limited interactions with Orlando Antigua, I can certainly see how somebody would definitely build a relationship with him and have that feeling of trust. He is a marvelous relationship builder. And certainly when you talk about just an engaging human being, you can see why Orlando has had such a fantastic effect on kids over a long period of time. And certainly, you know, your logic that maybe that would be the differentiator would be something that I could buy into. And certainly that would be the other challenge that we have is, you know, how do you build that relationship quickly? You know, Connor, you had some thoughts.
Yeah, so I was just going to kind of go back to what you were saying on your devil's advocate towards Kentucky. I mean, if he wants to go there for 25 minutes a game, I mean, maybe he thinks that can hide some of his weaknesses enough during those minutes. But if I was an NBA GM, I would look at it and go, I'd want to have more tape on him to see if he's really done the things that are going to be necessary for the next level versus just going to Kentucky, getting 25 minutes a game, potentially, you know, having lineups that just aren't gonna put him in situations where he needs to do those things versus if he was at Illinois, you'd have four out. He goes, the one guy inside, Garcia can play or whoever our four is, if Payne might be able to do those minutes as well, given that how Ked said that he looked at the open gym. But, I mean, if he's at Illinois, he's getting 30-plus minutes. That's a lot more opportunity for you to show what you've added to your game versus last year. I mean, Kentucky isn't just we've seen, you know, this year, just having Kentucky on your name is not going to get you drafted. You actually have to start doing stuff correctly or else NBA isn't just going to take you based on that name alone.
Ked, do you have any thoughts?
Well, yeah, just my last thing. My last take on this thing was Kofi as far as the defensive standpoint. I know Matt talked about that and, you know, I don't want to sit and rehash everything over and over again, but defensively, you know, if he wants to be in the NBA and he wants to challenge Brad Underwood on his knowledge of the game versus Kofi's, I will sit down and watch the Ohio State basketball game in Champaign and in Columbus, Ohio. E.J. Liddell is a prototypical four man, and E.J. Liddell embarrassed Kofi Coburn so much to the point where Brad switched and tried to have Georgie guard him, and he couldn't do it. He was a little bit successful, I think, eventually when he went to DeMonte. So if he wants to understand what it's like to play in the NBA, to guard on the perimeter like Matt was talking about again, because I'm going to tell you, Matt, I was sitting right next to you in the State Farm Center, and it was embarrassing what he did to him. There's things that he needs to work on. We all want money. We all want fame. We all want these things, but you have to work at them because he's big and gifted and athletic. There's flaws, and I agree. We talked about the offensive end, but defensively, he would really, really struggle if anybody took him to the perimeter.
Yeah. Matt, any final thoughts on that?
Yeah, I just think there's a laundry list. Look, Kentucky's involved in this because Orlando Antigua. Like, there's a reason why Illinois wanted to offer so much money to O. Like, Mike, you just pointed it out. Like, they didn't want to lose him. Like, Joshua Whitman was not interested in losing Orlando Antigua. This is why. Like, we're not having this conversation if Orlando Antigua is never associated with Illinois. Like, because Kofi would have never come here, period. End of discussion. And so I think that's where this starts. And then I have seen, like, Mike, you were talking about, players do less in college and receive more on draft night. Scala Bissier is an example that comes to my mind of guys that can go, I don't have to, like, literally didn't do anything in college, but yet was a lottery pick. Like, Daniel Orton was a first round draft pick, was DeMarcus Cousins' backup at Kentucky. Like, DeMarcus Cousins is a guy, again, if they want to sell Kofi, it's the DeMarcus Cousins plan, because I watched that kid in high school in Alabama, and I thought, literally, whoever takes him, he's going to be a train wreck. Absolute freaking train wreck on and off the court. for all of the things that Cal probably didn't do from an X's and O's standpoint, he kept DeMarcus Cousins in check at least for 12 months, enough to get him where he needed to be, which is almost at the Final Four. That's the plan for Kentucky. If you're Illinois, you basically are just selling, look, come on back and we can be at the top tier of the Big Ten and be a top 15, top 10 program, period. And you're going to play probably with one of the best pick and roll point guards in the Big Ten, if not in the country. That's the selling point. But you've got to get better covering guys that are going to stretch out, you know, and play the five. Because E.J. Liddell is not going to stop playing the five at Ohio State. And that's right. Going to continue to be Kofi's pet peeve. That's got to be how the conversation that they have to get in with Kofi. But I don't think it's a slam dunk one way or another. And I guess I'm still surprised that he didn't just buck all of the everything NBA people were telling him and saying, okay, fine, I'll go play and get $1 million international. Like, I'm still kind of shocked that he went this route, because I know how much of coming back to college was just not an attractive option for him. So he must have been getting feedback that was just, look, you need to go back to school because it's just not going to work in this. And I think when he got into the G League camp and didn't dominate like I think everybody thought he needed to, I think that was the solidifying factor of he needed to come back to school. But I have so many questions that Kofi can't answer for me right now, because until he makes a decision. And when he makes a decision, I think then I'll have a lot more answers for you.
Yeah. And there'll be a lot more clarity, because his decision right. will prove exactly what's on his mind, and it'll also tell us what his priorities are, et cetera. So the other story we wanted to talk about today, and this is one that gosh darn, you feel sorry for, the women's basketball program, this big time win of getting Camille Jackson to commit to the basketball program is something that is not receiving as much attention now that Kofi and his words, you know, and his decisions are out there. Camille is a 5'11", 4-star guard out of Butler Prep, committed today, 15th best point guard in the class, ranked nationally at 57th. Here's the type of player, the in-state player who's a dominant player that Illinois has really struggled to attract. And this is a massive win for the women's basketball program. Ked, what are your thoughts about this? And give us kind of your analysis of what's going on behind the scenes to make this possible.
Well, first of all, we have to give kudos to Josh Whitman, because – you know, a few weeks ago, you know, you along with Matt and I, we were at a roundtable discussion with the athletic director, Josh Whitman, and Coach Fahey's name came up. And I have been a huge fan of Coach Fahey's. I've defended her. And, you know, one of the questions that came up was, should she keep her job? She's struggling and she's not winning games. And, you know, Josh looked, and, you know, professional as he is, you know, he took the high road. He understands how bad the women's program has been. It is a tough, tough job. You know, the knock on her was she came from Division III basketball, and can she succeed at that level? I'm going to tell you firsthand, I have attended, me personally, at least 5 or 6 of their practices. I've watched, and I've been around basketball my entire life. It is my blood. It's my passion. And I'm going to tell you, the woman knows basketball. She has put herself in a good situation at Illinois to change the outlook of the program. The problem that she's had is that the program was so bad to where nobody wants to come to school there. And whether it be from out of state, in state, and now things are turning. And Coach and Josh Whitman mentioned the fact that this whole thing all turns around recruiting. And last year, I don't know if a lot of people realize this, you know, they put themselves in a good situation last year, you know, as far as a recruiting standpoint, because they have the number one player and a girl named Adele McKenzie. She was out of Minnesota. She was Mrs. Basketball. And she was one of the top 20 guards in the country. Those are the kind of players that Illinois needed to attract. they were lacking in attracting those kids. Right where I live in the Quad Cities, we had a girl named Bree Bill. She was Mrs. Basketball. Actually, at one point in time, she was a top five player in the country. She ended up going to South Carolina. And when I talked to her, she told me Illinois was a close second. You know, and she was a Illinois was a close second because of Coach Fahey's, her passion and her will to turn this program around. Now, you add the fact that McKenzie's there, and now you have another guard in Camille Jackson, who is considered by some maybe the number one or maybe the number two player in the state of Illinois. She's getting the recruiting part of it done. And she is selling, you know, these kids on dreams as far as them being able to compete, stay home. She talked to, you know, I talked to Camille before we got on this podcast. And here's what was unique, what she said. We talked about Ion. And 3 years ago when he came to the program, when it was kind of dead and it wasn't popular to do. If you go on Twitter, I'm not trying to get you to follow me on Twitter, or you can look on hers. The amount of people, the AAU program and high school coaches giving her credit for staying home and playing at Illinois is tremendous because they don't do it. And she wants to do what Io did. She is not looking to for her personal goals. She wants to turn the program around and show people that it's okay to stay home. You know, the entire coaching staff eventually got involved with it. You know, Coach Patterson was involved. Corey Irvin, who is unbelievable. And, you know, she's a god in the state of Illinois. I think this is just the beginning of a lot of kids to come. You know, and when you watch, if anybody watches game film, if you go to IlliniGuys.com, I mean, our colleague Brax Sturdy put up some good video footage of her. Illinois need playmakers. They need girls that can get theirs and girls that can create, girls that can shoot. No disrespect to the girls that were on the roster last year, the year before last, some of them, because some of the ones that are able to do that are still there. I've watched every Illinois basketball game the girls had because I had the Big Ten Network pass and I attended some. They couldn't score. They couldn't shoot. You know, they were one-dimensional. Now this staff is changing. Like Josh Whitman said, the Big Ten's getting better. So Illinois has upgraded their talent. I'm happy for the staff because everybody is easy. It's easy for them to just say, get rid of Coach Fahey, fire her because she's not winning games. You can't keep doing that. If you fire Coach Fahey, I guarantee it, Camille Jackson is not in Champaign and she wouldn't have committed today because you have to prove longevity and you have to give these coaches a chance to prove their worth. And looking at the roster that they're trying to build, they're recruiting athletes and girls that can score.
Matt, any thoughts on this?
I sat in the meeting with Josh Whitman, just like you did, Mike, and Ked did as well. I thought those questions were legitimate. I thought they were fair about Nancy and her status, especially after she lost two assistants. And I thought they were fair. I thought the answers made sense too, which was, for lack of a better term, this, and I hate to bring it up because I don't want it to end the same way, but this like Lovey is on Josh. This is Josh taking a chance on somebody at the Division I level who he believed was a good basketball coach. And let's see if she can work, you know, at the highest level of college basketball. And I think Nancy wanted to take that shot too. And it hasn't worked out. And I think so those questions were legitimate. The answers made sense to me as well. I think today's commitment kind of puts in full perspective what Nancy's now trying to do and trying to accomplish. I think she's trying – what she tried to do was, you know, build a program and build a foundation with what she was able to put on tape with her basketball acumen coming from the levels that she was coming from and winning and competing for national championships where she was at. And then now I can build a foundation that allows me to go get players. You know, Camille today is a definition of the players that Nancy's going to need in order to compete in a really, really difficult league that is the Big Ten. Because you've got every year, it seems like in that sport, you've at least got two or three, if not four, national championship contenders in the Big Ten Conference. And I think Nancy knows, you know, the uphill climb that she has, and Camille's a start. and it's a really good start. And I think, but this has got to be the kind of consistent kind of player that she needs to get in every kind of recruiting class in order to build what she wants to build. I agree with Kat. I think she's the right coach from a basketball acumen. She makes her players better. They play fundamentally sound, smart basketball, but she hasn't had the players to be able to compete in the Big Ten Conference. And I think that that's just been more than obvious. Today kind of represents a transition into the kind of players that Nancy's going to need and Nancy is intending to go get. And I agree with Ked. Miss Irvin has been an unbelievable assistant coach hire for her. And I think that she will pay dividends in both of those regards, on the floor coaching and what she's doing on the recruiting trail. She already has proven dividends immediately. I think that will continue.
Well, one of the things I look at is when I look at Josh Whitman, he's made his judgment calls that haven't worked out, but you can also see with a situation like Lovie Smith, he was willing to pull the plug, you know, and with this, with that defense of Coach Fahey the other day, that defense was really good. And ultimately to me, that said volumes when Josh was willing to speak out about that. This certainly was not he was not looking at her the same way he looked at Lovie, an opportunity to try something that didn't work out. And of course, he certainly didn't view it the way maybe somebody on the outside looking in would have looked at Tim Beckman as like, whoa, what are we doing here? So, that was definitely a very strong and aggressive defense of Coach Fahey, which at least today seems to be justified with the events that we see coming on right now.
You know, let's be honest too. I don't think Josh understands that his butt isn't on the line as much if women's basketball is still in a transition and still rebuilding than if 5 years down the line, football is still in a transition and rebuilding. So right. Nancy gets the benefit of that. But then today, it's probably a bad example, but I go back to what Ohio State did with Thad Matta years back, where the AD Gene Smith knew, A, it didn't go well last year. B, it's not going well for you in recruiting. And C, assistants are bolting. Like, I need to make a change. That's where the questions, I think, came from Gabby in that media roundtable. It was all A plus B plus C equals what, Josh? And he gave an answer as to what that equaled in his mind. Today, we got some verification as to evidence to what he said about Nancy. And I think that that's going to continue when you put a staff together that's going to value Illinois recruiting and get players like she did today. Sorry.
Yep.
And being able to keep some of them home, it's tough. Like when you watch Northwestern and DePaul, because they've done extremely well in the state of Illinois. When I talked to Camille, I mean, she had a lot of offers and I put them on the site this afternoon. Or in my story, she could have went to Louisville, she could have went to Penn State, but her final two were DePaul and Illinois. So this was a big recruiting coup just throughout the state, because when you look at Northwestern, like I said to you, they just dominate. And all the girls look like legitimate Division I basketball players. And I think Illinois was playing behind the eight ball, like Matt said, just from a recruiting standpoint. And this recruiting class that she has this year coming in, I think people are really, really going to be surprised, and to give them credit, I mean, they're going overseas to get kids. I mean, they're really, really trying to change the landscape of women's basketball. And I applaud Josh for not pulling the plug. You're right. It's not the football program. It's not the, the men's basketball program or volleyball or golf. Having said that, I just know what kind of people they are. I know personally how hard they work. Was able to go to the boys' practice and I go watch Nancy's and, it's the same thing, but it all boils down to players. And no matter how much people like sports, college athletics, if you don't have the players, you're not going to win long term. You're not going to win. Matt, you are a genius when it comes to evaluating, football players. And, you can say kids are going to be good because they're getting all these recruits. But at some point in time, these kids have to be difference makers, because you're not going to be able to compete with Ohio State. You're not going to be able to go, I shouldn't say Michigan because they've been pretty bad lately. But if you want to compete with the big dogs, you have to have horses. You have to have game, you know, makers or playmakers, like Iowa was last year for the men's program, like Carbello's going to be for the boys program. I mean, he is probably going to be the best point guard in the Big Ten this year. That's what Nancy needs. She needs playmakers like that.
Yeah, the comparison I mean, that came up in my head as you were talking, Ked, is, look, I know how bad Ron Zook's first couple of years were at Illinois. Everybody does. And then Aurelius Benn decided to show up on campus, and Martez Wilson decided to show up on campus. Well, Camille has that Aurelius Benn type feel to it. Like, Nancy's going to need a couple more, don't get me wrong, but that one recruiting class for Ron Zook took him to Pasadena. And that anybody that tells you any different is out of their mind. Because, you know, once Aurelius Benn shows up and Martez Wilson and Rashard Mendenhall and you know, Isaiah Juice Williams show up on campus, once these guys show up, you've got a completely different dynamic with your program. I don't care what sport it is. And Nancy's got a different dynamic today because she can say, I can get the top players in the state to come to Champaign. And she couldn't say that last year. And she couldn't say that this past, you know, when she took the job. And so there's a dynamic that's changing in her program. My concern for Nancy is that it kind of needs to be expedited because of the seasons that she's had, but she's going in the right direction. It's an uphill climb and a severe uphill climb for her through no fault of her own, to be quite honest, but she's got to get there, and she's got to get there. And I think she knows she's got to get there fast. Camille's a big help. So we'll see where this goes.
Ked, any wrapping thoughts on that?
Well, I just hope they continue to build. That's the key. Like I said to you, when I look at social media today, there was other high school players and other coaches. I think they took notice today. The entire staff, this isn't just on Coach Fahey, because we all know the assistant coaches are the ones that are really kind of going on doing all the work behind the scenes. They need to build on it. You know, that's the key to anything. You know, match right. You know, this is a difference maker. Even though they have one now on staff right in the program right now, she's just from Minnesota, they need to continue to build.
Yeah, so this has been a pretty exciting day, or at least a day that we'll keep on the calendars. This could be, you know, just like Io coming to the men's basketball thing. Maybe we have Camille, who makes a huge difference for the women's basketball team. And, of course, with Kofi's situation, nothing's going to be resolved today. But certainly knowing he's not going to go pro, and then hoping that the NIL will be a greener pasture here in Champaign, where people have grown to love him as a player, has restored some hope to the Illinois faithful. And, of course, at IlliniGuys.com, we're here to cover that for you. We have people like Matt Stevens, who can give you the analysis of both the football, basketball programs. We have Kedrick Prince, who's got all the recruiting information. And it doesn't matter whether it's a men or women's sport. Somehow, he seems to be in the middle of all the decision makers when it's time to decide where they're going to school. And, of course, stay tuned, because at IlliniGuys.com, we may need to have another one of these podcasts in the next day or two. There's a lot of moving parts going on right now. You know, we're hearing about Dawson Garcia. We're hearing about Kofi. One doesn't know what other recruiting things are going on as Chester and Jeff Alexander work on all of the beating the bushes and work on those 22s. And who knows, maybe there's another 21 out there that might be interested in University of Illinois as well. So whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, whether you're halfway across the United States or halfway across the world, IlliniGuys.com is the place that you need to be to keep yourself in the know on Illini. Thanks, everybody.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.